came today. Just a few thoughts today from that Mark reading. And I've entitled it, Different Motivations of Looking. And aren't the motivations so different? Two groups of quite different people are involved, and that's not surprising. The chief priests and the teachers of the law and Judas are basically one group. And the other group is mainly Jesus and the 11 disciples. And without doubt, many other male and female followers of his, disciples of his. Firstly, the first group, looking carefully for an appropriate and convenient opportunity to undertake their evil intents. Plotting, I'm just trying to recall what the word was in the version you read from. What was it, Lionel? Anyhow, wasn't a good positive word anyhow. And I can't think of any positive intent in plotting or other words like that. In this situation, or in fact in any situations. Now listen again to how this plotting is described in verse 1. They, that's the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they were looking for a way to arrest Jesus secretly. I think it might have been schemingly or something like that. For to put him to death.
Sought how they might take him by craft.
Craft, that was the word, craft. Craftily. Thanks, Si. And then in verse 2 it says, we must not do it during the festival because the people may riot. And wouldn't have been good if that had happened for them. This is taking scheming to another level. And when we reflect on nearly all of the interactions that Jesus had with the Pharisees and the chief priests, there's usually the same type of evil plotting and intent taking place with them. And oh, what a lesson for us, what not to be like. It's too easy to dismiss it as out of the question because we wouldn't treat Jesus like this, and that's true. But as we have read, and as Brother Lionel has prayed today, human nature is common to us all, as it was to them. Others can too easily be the focus for impure motive. But the true servant of the Lord must be swift to hear, slow to speak, and be pure in motive and thought. This is how Paul expresses this similar type of mindset. And he wrote these words to encourage the believers in Philippi nearly 2,000 years ago. He told them to focus on things that were good, honest, pure, and true, and to think only on those sorts of things. Now to Judas, a very sad case. A specially chosen disciple of the Lord with unlimited potential, I would suggest. I have to conclude that Jesus wasn't chosen to betray Jesus. That would border down predestination lines and remove the concept that Judas hadn't control over his free will, or that Jesus didn't have free will. And I believe 100% that's one of the greatest principles of the scripture, that God has given us free choice. He doesn't want robots for his kingdom. And what is more, I believe that Jesus, right to the end, was trying to get Judas to change his mind. Such was always the motivation of Jesus, to practice saving people. But coupled with the encouragement and the incentives of the Pharisees and the chief priests, Judas became persuaded to betray his Lord and Master. Often in Scripture we are presented with the opposite, and I certainly think we've got that today. And what I'm talking about is what Mark tells us about a woman called Mary. A woman who unashamedly identified herself to Jesus in an act of love and understanding. The anointing of Jesus' feet with very costly perfume in itself was a sacrifice of enormous cost. Somebody's quantified what that was worth, and it's enormous. It's like, I don't know what it is. It's like hundreds of thousands. Might not be that, but it's a very large sum of money. But much more meaningful to Jesus was her support for him. And she was communicating this to Jesus. I understand, the 11 male disciples weren't. I understand what you are about to do. As I say, very few others didn't understand that. And she demonstrated this in an act that was so power-packed with, I understand what you are about to do. What a supportive blessing for Jesus at this time of desperate need. This is how Mark describes it, verse 6. And Jesus says it to the disciples. Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work upon me. Verse 8, Jesus continues. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for my burial. And then in verse 9 he continues, and truly I say unto you, or verily I say unto you, wherever in the world where the gospel will be preached, what this woman has done shall be spoken of as a memorial to her. Here was a believer in Jesus who showed her understanding by what she did. and what a commendation she received from